has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it just you for now?
I think so, but I just got on.
Understood. So did I.
No, you were right after me, so we were maybe 30 seconds apart.
Well, let's give it a minute, because I have some interesting things to discuss today. Last night's RE class was short, but I think it was interesting.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the fifth Aliyah, which we will study today after the Lashav Yehud, consists of five verses. Begins at chapter 10 of Leviticus, verse 16. And completes at verse 20. The number five can be thought of as connecting to the five worlds. The number five can be thought of as connecting to Hashem's name, even though it has four letters. It's related to the idea that the Yud has a separate connection to the Keter. And the number five can relate to the five levels of the five parts of theme of Keter, or Chachma, Bina, Zerantin, and Ut.
And has I really joined.
Use the parts of theme names. Keter does not have a specific parts of theme because it is the seed. Then there's Abba and Ima, Zerantin, and Nukva. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud he bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohinu alena maasei yadenu kunanei alena maasei yadenu kunanehu. Verse 16. Uyet seir achatat darosh darash Moshe vihine sora faik So, Al Elazar, Uyel Itamar, Bnei Aharon, Anotarim Lemor. In this verse, you have the word Darosh followed by the word Darash. They are the same letters. They are the same word. When we get to the English translation, you'll find that Darosh means inquire, and Darash in Hebrew being the second time it's said is emphasizing the inquiry, indicating that it's a strong. This particular location between the word Darosh and Darash is the middle of the Torah in words. In the word in the Parsha of Tav, we found the middle of the Torah in sentences or verses. Here is the middle of the Torah in words. And it is a good time to just take a moment and connect in through your meditative systems to the central column, which is a method of bringing balance into your life. we have an interesting dilemma in looking at these words because the vowels are different. Now, we know in the Torah there are no vowels. So we have to ask, where did these vowels come from? And they come from a scroll called the Masoretic Text. It is the only scroll, or the oldest scroll, where the Bible, the Torah itself, is written with vowels. And that's the way we pronounce it. That's the way we determine verses. But we have to look at these vowels particularly because they're different. Under the letter Dalet is the Patah, and that represents the Keter. And it's true for both words. The Resh has a different vowel. The Resh of Darosh has the Olam. The Resh under the second word, it has the straight line, which I forget its name, but that vowel represents Bina. So in the second word, we have a connection to the Keter and the, we have a connection to the Keter and to the Bina. My mistake. Connection to Keter and Chachma. Essentially, that would be the Yud, because the crown of the Yud is considered the Keter, and the rest of the Yud is considered Chachma. So then the word, the second word would be Yesh, there is. In the first word, where you have the Cholam under the Resh, it represents Rosh, which is head. So the first word could be translated as the doorway to the head. And what is the doorway to the head? It's an interesting item to contemplate. I took a moment because this particular two words represents the middle of the Torah in words. I made it my business to try and see what different translations could be done. So we have Darosh or Darash. One means to inquire, the other means to demand. In the first word, we have Dalet Resh, but we have the Ulam. So there's a missing Vav that we could put in there, and then it becomes the word door, as in generation. In reverse order, the first word, Darosh, is spelling shore, which is the bull, the astrological sign of VR, which we will be entering in this coming Monday night, Monday and Tuesday, actually.
Has joined.
So, the shore, but we have to put the Dalet, and the Dalet we know means a door. So it's a doorway to the bull, to ER. The essence of ER is healing, but it's also second chances, as we will come to discover Monday night with our Rosh Chodesh connection. In the reverse order, Resh Vav Shin, it's hemlock, which is a particular plant. I don't know the characteristics of hemlock, but I know it's used in healing. And so we have the door to hemlock. All of this commentary that I've been giving you today is to really explain to you the concept of the center column. Because on the one hand, we have Keter and Hachma, but all of these words, like door, has a shin next to it. So we have door, meaning a generation of passion. Generation of passion is going to inquire exceedingly, excessively, not excessively in a negative sense. But this is the central column. And one thing we need to really and truly understand about the central column is Hashem has a central column. He is the only being or entity, depending on which way you wish to describe it. I don't wish to describe Hashem as an entity, but he's also much more than a being. But it's because we really have no way of describing Hashem. We have no way to name Hashem properly. But the essence of the central column is that a human being can never stay at the central column. If you imagine a teeter-totter, it's always flowing through that fulcrum point, that center column, that balance point. It cannot stay there. In order for it to stay there, both children sitting on the ends of the teeter-totter have to have their feet on the ground and particularly stop it at a point. But if they weigh differently by even a half a pound, they're never going to be able to be in that center point, that balance point. But we need to strive for the balance point. That's what the Torah is constantly telling us. Strive for the balance point. Knowing that you cannot stay there does not mean you should not try. And there are many spiritual lessons to be taught from that teaching. Continuing to read the Hebrew, for verse 17. Madu alo akaltem et hachata'at bimkom hakodesh ki kodesh hadashim hi weota natan lachem laseat et awom haida lekaper alehem lifnei Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohewahe Dawanu heyo Hein lo huva et ama el hakodesh benima hakol toklu ota bakodesh kasher tziweti vaydaber aharon el moshe ein hayom hikrivu et chataat tam v'yed olatam lifnei Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohewahe Dawanu heyo. tav. Bene Adonai. Yohewahe Adanu yo. Yohe dawanu heyo. Vayishma Moshe. Vayita be'ena. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. English translation. And chapter 10, verse 16 in English. And Moses thoroughly investigated. That's the translator's attempt to explain the two Darosh, Darash, by emphasizing the investigation. It was a thorough investigation. Concerning the sin offering he-goat, and behold, it had been burnt. So he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's surviving sons, saying, why did you not eat the sin offering in the holy place? For it is holy of holies, and he has given it to you to gain forgiveness for the sin of the community, to effect their atonement before Hashem. Behold, its blood was not brought into the sanctuary within, so you should have surely eaten it within holy as I commanded. And Aaron spoke to Moses, but today did they offer up their sin offering and their burnt offering before Hashem? But like these had befallen me, and if I had eaten a sin offering today, would it have pleased Hashem? Moses heard this, and it pleased him. This was a discussion between Moses and Aaron, but it's really explaining about the sin offering, that there are days that it should be eaten in a holy place, and there are other days that the sin offering should be burnt similar to the oleh, to the elevation offering. That is the completion of our aliyah today. But I have another kind of special announcement I'd like to read. This coming Shabbat is known as the Shabbat of the Key, Shabbat Ma'patach. It is the Shabbat for which we bake challah in the shape of a key. What most people don't know is how much abundance and blessing one can get by performing this segula. There are a few different ways to make this special challah. One is to shape the dough in the shape of a key. Another is to place a key in the dough before baking it. A third method is to sprinkle sesame seeds on top of the challah in the shape of a key. And for those who are eating matzah, you can sprinkle the sesame seeds on top of the matzah in the shape of a key. According to Kabbalah and many tzaddikim, this segula has important significance that can bring down an infinite amount of abundance. The same that way that we say, Poteach et Yadecha, and we open our hands symbolically, alluding to the Parnassah, that we are asking Hashem to send us. This Shabbat, we bring the abundance down through the custom of baking a key-shaped challah. We ask Hashem that our key open the doors of abundance in the sky. The Shabbat after Pesach is normally Shabbat Mevorachim, for the month of Iyar, the announcement of the new moon. Iyar was the month during which the man started coming down to Bnei Yisrael while they were in the desert. The man is a symbol of Parnassah. After Pesach, we start a new year, and so we ask Hashem to bless us with Parnassah and abundance for the new year, especially after all the expenses from the holidays. On this special Shabbat Mevorachim, we bake challah, the ultimate symbol of Shabbat Kodesh, in the shape of a key that symbolizes that from down here in this physical world, we are using our key to open the doors of abundance and ask Hashem to do the same in Shemayim. Rabbi Israel from Apta, Zotal, says that Shabbat Mevorachim for the month of Iyar is a great segula for Parnassah and confirms that the same way we symbolically have the key to the gates of Parnassah, Hashem opens up the gates of Parnassah in Shemayim to send down abundant blessings of Parnassah. The numerical value, the gematria of the words Parnassah plus man plus challah equals mafteach, key. The Bet Avraham from Slonim, Zatal, says that the Gemara there is a disagreement among the sages. Some say that if the Jewish people keep two Shabbat, the Mashiach will come, while some say that if one Shabbat is kept, the Mashiach will come. So which one is it? The Bet Avraham from Slonim Zatal says that the Gemara is referring to the Shabbats that fall during the weeks of the Omer. There are seven Shabbats. Every Shabbat that is kept and all mitzvot performed, candlelighting, kiddush, etc., Avdala, during these Shabbats give you double the merits of any other Shabbat. And therefore, one Shabbat well kept during the weeks of the Omer count as two Shabbats. The coming Shabbat is amongst the seven and is considered to be a big Shabbat filled with abundance. It is the first Shabbat following the splitting of the sea, the seventh day of Pesach. Parnassah and Zivugim are known to be as difficult as the splitting of the sea. But now the sea has been split, and we are holding the key, our challah, and are now ready to receive the blessings of abundance from Hashem. This Shabbat is of great importance, and everyone should make the extra effort to honor Shabbat as best as he or she can. It is important to enjoy Shabbat. Generally, the honoring of Shabbat is what brings us blessing and abundance for the week. Anything one does to honor Shabbat increases the amount of blessing one receives. The Holy Zohar writes that when a person sets his Shabbat table, thousands of angels, along with the Shekhinah, come down to the table. The Shekhinah blesses the table, and the thousands of angels unanimously answer Amen. This occurs every Shabbat, and even more so on this Shabbat, when we hold the key of bracha, the key of blessings in our hands, may we all merit to be blessed with unlimited abundance and blessing, Baruch Hashem, and the coming of Mashiach tonight. And may we all say, Amen. Does anyone have any questions?
I know, I don't know if you mentioned it, but sometimes I've just put a real key on top of my challah.
I did. That's the one where they bake it inside. Put it on top.
But I didn't know about sesame seeds. So since we'll be eating matzah still this year, then that's what I'll do.
I understand.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I thought it was well worth making people aware of for the Shabbat.
Well, I used to make that loaf before Pesach, and I would keep it because I'd sell my challah, you know. But then after doing the lessons with you, well, I got rid, you know, I didn't do that anymore. So that's why it's a little bit hard for me to do that one.
Understand. Yeah.
But we learn. We do. Thank you. I'm going to mute again.
You're welcome. We have a couple of minutes, and I'm only going to look at the one verse, which is the sixth section of Beor's, Beor Esther Sefirot, with the light of the Esther, of the ten Sefirot. And section six begins with paragraph one. There is no English translation on the Sepharia website. Why they didn't complete the translation is interesting. The fact that they didn't complete it, there must be a reason. But what I did was copy the Hebrew into Google Translate, and I got a relatively clean translation. So I've done that for section 6, 7, and 8. Beginning to read the one first paragraph of section 6. Is it 6? Yeah, it's 6. We all say Yosef Hashuel, the Shuel Haya, no Kalomer, Ki Hu Ahad, Wehamasefer, Asher Hamta Ahadim, Bo Ki Beze. Nishmor imitat levaveinu willo nishmor mamar pinu. And on this, the questioner will continue to ask, how can we say that he is one and the number 10 uniting in him? Because in this we will keep the truth of our hearts and not keep the article of the word pino. One of the ways of translating the word pino, which they did not translate in Google Translate, is it's spelled Pei Yud Nun Vav. The Nun Vav, blending, meaning hour. Pei and Yud can be parsed into the two letters, pei being the mouth, and the yud meaning the first letter of Hashem's name, so it's a connection to Hashem. So the word pinu can be translated is
has joined
the mouth of our Hashem. And we can read that this question, which is really being explained as being part of the questioner, we're seeing it as the questioner is going to continue to ask or say, I don't really understand. How can Hashem be one and yet 10 at the same time? And how can these 10 unite within him? Because the answer to this, or the question to this, is that we will keep the truth of this understanding, this paradox, in our hearts, and not keep the article, the article is not a good translation, but we will not keep the article of the mouth of our Hashem. Now, what is it? This article it's not a good translation, and it does not give you the full understanding of the Hebrew. But it's really this one paragraph is saying, I have questions. How can Hashem be one and 10 simultaneously? Bezrat Hashem, next week, we will attempt to answer that question. We are out of time. There are 3 classes tonight, or the rest of the day. The 11 o'clock class is the Sefer Yetzirah class. I'm going to the podiatrist today. Hopefully I will be back in time for that 2 o'clock or 11 o'clock class. At 4 p.m., we have a counting of the Omer and a connection to our Deep Zohar class. And at 4 p.m., we have our regular Zohar class. I bid you all a wonderful day. Shalom gadol, and much happiness and peace in your lives. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you, Hanot.
Thank you.